You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi, I'm Shipra from Mint's personal finance team, and welcome back to Why Not Mint Money. This week, Why Not Mint Money will bring to you Women's Day special episodes on topics that concern women and money. Today's episode is about retirement, a milestone that gets overlooked because it is too far in the future. Retirement planning is all the more important for women as they face challenges of pay gap and career breaks. I have invited Anu Jain, President, Equity Advisory, NDPMS 361 Wealth, who will share tips on effective retirement planning for women.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Hi, Anu. Welcome to Why Not Mint Money.
Hi, Shipra. Thank you for having me here.
So, Anu, I want to start this podcast by hearing your views on how is retirement planning different for women, you know, from men?
Well, Shipra, I think the genesis of that is in the very fact that what is the proportion of the workforce coming from, you know, women versus men. So we are late entrants. Let's accept it that, you know, till about 10, 15 years back, the proportion of women in the workforce was much lower. Even though it's getting higher, the kind of roles women are getting, there is no comparison between where men folk are versus where women folk are, despite the similar education. So if you look at the number of CEOs and CFOs, while the number is very encouragingly going up, as a total proportion, if I were to see a pie chart, it's fairly low. Similarly, if you go into managerial roles, though it's increasing, it's still low. So you are on an upward trajectory. And while that's a lot to be positive about compared to, say, 20 years back, but still, I wouldn't say, considering that we are 50% of the, you know, population, we are far from that number. Now, if you look at the salary levels also, even at the same level, there is a disparity between what women draw and what men draw. And that's not just related to our country. That's it's right. A worldwide phenomenon. And so when you're drawing less, doing more, and at the same time, if you look at the age expectancy of women, we outlive men by at least 3 to 5 years on an average. So all these three things put together, I think it's an essential that you need to plan quicker, faster, probably save more than men.
Rightly said, Anu. So let's discuss about the challenges that women face, you know, which either deters them from planning for retirement actively or postpones the process. What are those challenges?
So Shipra, the first one is obviously knowledge and confidence. Because, you know, while you're growing up, I have seen this in the richest of families where we manage money. The men folk are the one usually who are controlling the finances. Though I see a lot of now husbands, fathers welcoming daughters and training them, but it's still a new process. Yeah. So the first hurdle or the challenge, I would say, is the knowledge. And obviously, when you don't have the knowledge, when you have no exposure, then the confidence is not going to be there. So I think the first main challenge is that. And I think that needs to be addressed by better education, by better knowledge, by better courses. So you may be a lawyer, but what is your confidence in handling your money? Or you may be you know, in consultancy, but do you have the wherewithal to manage your money? So I think that is what needs to be kind of addressed with. And fortunately, now there is a lot of books, there's a lot of podcasts like this, there are a lot of sites where, you know, online sites where you can do courses, where you can read up on what's happening on the economy and the sectors. I think there is a lot where, yes, time will be needed. And I know time is one of the most scarcest resources which women have, but maybe while you're traveling to work, maybe while you're, you know, doing your household chores, these are things which have to be inculcated as a part to educate and get the confidence to take it forward.
Right. And I think what's even more important is that as you learn about managing finances, one of the first things should be to actively start planning for your retirement, because, you know, because it is out of sight, so you think that, you know, you don't need to plan for it just yet, but it should be a part of your financial management from the very start.
Yes, I mean, I would look at it, Shipra, like, you know, whichever stage of life you are, you should figure out and at least put a number to when you would like to stop working actively. I mean, you may be very gainfully employed and giving back to society or whichever way. But a mental image that, okay, if I'm going to work till, say, 65, you know, and today these are my household expenses, and take inflation as a factor and pull it up to the year you expect to retire. And you should have that figure of at least the monthly income coming to you from your savings.
That's
now
right.
That, when you keep it, you know, it's actually a DCF figure. And fortunately now, you can just do it on an Excel, or you'll have sites which will tell you that. You will know that to get to that figure on that day, what is the figure you need to start saving from today? And believe me, it's not going to be linear, because there will be times when your job, you know, you may take a sabbatical, you may take a break, but also there will be times where your salary will go up by 20% and 30%. So while it's not a linear graph, you will have a ballpark figure how much you need to save per month to get to that figure. And whatever you're saving is obviously also going to yield results over that period. So if it's into a fixed income product, it may give you 6-7%. If it's over in equities, you can take a long-term equity, will give you 10-11% approximately. So blended return would be about 8-8.5%. So 8-8.5%, if you kind of work at, you will know approximately ki agar mujhe samjho at X period I need to have 2 lakh rupees per month. I'm earning today about 2 lakh rupees a month. How do I get to that figure? So these are things which need you to sit down, probably spend a day. But once you have that direction, you'll be more committed to the process.
You're right. So to start this process, is there an ideal time? Would you say that there's an ideal time? And if there is, then when?
See, honestly, it's like I've seen people start saving for their children's education even before they're born. You know, when they take a decision to bring a child into this, onto planet Earth. I've seen good parents do that. So I think there is no time slot better than today to start doing it. You may be just 20-year-old, or you may be 30-year-old. And I mean, even if you're 40, it's not too late to start, because you need to do it. So I think the right time is now. And as I said, that exercise will take you a day to calibrate what you need to run your house X years from now when you want to give up, and then work backwards. So I think the right time is now.
Okay, so as you said, that the very first step is that you sit down, you know, you create a roadmap, how much you need, and you know, what is your expectation from your investments and all those things. Now comes the second step, that you actually plan your investment. How are you going to build that corpus? So why don't you tell us about this second step? What needs to be done?
As I said, you need to build the corpus, and you've decided that you need 100 rupees at the end of a period. And as I said, you need to figure out then how much can you put in per month. Okay. Now that again is on what you can save per month. And, you know, as we say, that delaying consumption strengthens your muscle of, you know, living well. And so you basically figure out how much you can save. Now, once you've figured out this is the amount I can save, then you have to figure out how and what modalities will I kind of invest this in. So obviously the safest which are available is your PPF, your pension funds, your bond, fixed income, where there's no risk to capital. So I would put that for people who are starting fresh as your number one priority, because there is no chance that if there is a fall in the macros of the economy, you know, that you will lose money, because these are things where they give you a fixed return. You know what the return is. You know what the term or period of investment is. And it gives you clarity. It gives you comfort, a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
As you feel more confident, and as you learn more, and that's why I keep putting the emphasis on educating yourself, you can get into mutual funds or equities. You can get into other kind of investment avenues. They could be real estate, they could be exotics, but these are all a function of how to manage your risk and how much do you know about the sector. I'll give you an example. Right now, all of India is speculating. I mean, I'll give you an example. There was a girl who used to come home to give, a head massage for me. Suddenly, she stopped coming and I spoke to her what happened. And she says, I am in the stock market and I do derivatives. Wow. And I'm making more than what I made. Now, these are short-term cycles. In the long-term cycle, it's not going to last. And her education level is not such that, I have the confidence that she'll be able to sustain it. So I would only say don't go for these fly-by-night opportunities also. You have to be consistent. You have to be satisfied with the next return. You will have opportunities when you can go in for 3-4 months of that. But as I said, your asset allocation has to be clear. Even if you're saving 10,000 rupees a month, 10,000 needs to go to your PPF or 10,000 needs to go into a bank deposit or 10,000 rupees needs to go into bonds or maybe 2,000 rupees goes into an SIP to a mutual fund. These are things that you have to very rationally make a decision considering the risk factors involved.
That's right. Talking about risk factors, so, for a salaried woman, of course, PPF is running in the background, on default. Then there are other options like NPS, of course. For non-salaried women, what would you say, which instruments would you advise they should look at?
Obviously, PPF, there's an employee provident fund and then you can contribute yourself even if you're not employed by somebody, you're self-employed. So you have that 1.5 lakh rupees, which you can definitely go and put under that ATC. You also have the pension fund, which you can do on your own. Apart from that, I think safest is to look at fixed income opportunities which are given as bonds or which are given as mutual funds which run fixed incomes. They also have these blended things where they will decide when to move from fixed income to equities, so you don't really have to take a call. If equities is expensive, they move to fixed income. If they find fixed income is not going to give the relevant returns, they will move to equities.
Right.
So you can do into these products also, which are blended return products. And, or sometimes you feel that the corpus is small, so you may want to save till you come to an X corpus over a year and then do the asset allocation. But now, fortunately, the SIP figures are very nominal and you can do SIPs into all kind of funds and all kind of instruments over a period of time. So there is the requirement of a minimum corpus is honestly been brought down over a long period of time.
That's right. Okay. So coming to the last question of the episode, we've discussed when to start and, which instruments to look at. Now, even in doing this, there could be some potential mistakes that investors are prone to make. So what are the some do's and don'ts of retirement planning, which you would say that women should look at?
See, mistakes is part of the game. I mean, even life, if you look at it, which one of us has had a linear life? Mm-hmm. We've had 3 steps up, 2 steps behind, sometimes 4 steps behind, then 2 steps front.
That's it.
So I definitely, I think that's life for us. How do we learn from it is obviously analyze. You will not realize you're making a mistake till the result comes through. And sometimes that's a little... 1 year has gone through or 2 years has gone through, but you sit down rationally and analyze that. And the best thing, and that's why I keep iterating this, that, education, education and education. So there are podcasts, you have things like Money Control, investing.com, there are courses on the NSE side. There is Coursera and Khan Academy where, you can keep educating yourself because till you don't know what's happening in the world on economic front, on geopolitical front, on the financial front, you will obviously make more mistakes. The more, it's a very complex world. What's impacting your returns on your investments, may it be fixed income, real estate, equity. Everything is because of a combination of so many factors which are happening together. There is one thing that you get in advisor and you pay him and you do it. But I think that is good. But if you know what's happening, even if you have an investing advisor, you will know how you want to kind of navigate. It's like this.
Yeah.
You can hire a driver to drive your car, but you should definitely know how to drive to even tell your driver where he's going wrong. So you have to learn. And I think that to stop making mistakes or to make less mistakes, I would say the word is less mistakes, not stop making mistakes. A continuous education is definitely the main step towards it.
That's right. And of course, retirement planning, because it's a long game, especially if, you know, like we said, that it's better to start early. So if you do start early and it's a long game, so, you know, you have to constantly keep learning, unlearning, and, you know, remain updated, like you said.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, even if you have a professional doing it for you, but it's still a good practice to know where is your money going and what is happening to your money, especially when it comes to retirement.
Absolutely. And the fact is that because there is a gender pay gap, which needs to be addressed, and I hope that's addressed soon, women have to be far more conscientious and conscious about this at an earlier age.
Yes, yes. So to end the episode, Anu, I want to know about your retirement journey. So why don't you tell me about your retirement journey? When did you start? And, you know, what is it? How actively do you review it? And what are the instruments that you're invested in?
So I think the first thing which I started, and I think I have to give credit to both my father and my late husband, was that we started PPF. And at that time, I was self-employed. So PPF was something. And I remember that time, the max amount was about 60,000 rupees. And that went in every year. And it was to me that, you know, that is a figure you need to save. You know, you don't know what's going to be life like. And honestly, as I said, I've seen 4 steps ahead and probably 20 steps behind, especially when my husband passed away. And there was a period I couldn't save anything. And then came the period where I said, you know, because I had a son who was growing up and there was education. But then there came a phase where I could start allocating for it. And I've consistently, kind of put money into both equities and fixed income. And I can't say that I've reached a point where, you know, I can live the same lifestyle without working. But I know I'm close to that point. And that gives me the confidence to keep doing it consistently, because I know it is still some years away. But knowing that you have that kitty at the end where you don't have to rely on, because understand, the family structures are also changing.
That's
when
right.
we were small, there were joint families and older people were looked after by the younger people.
Yeah.
Now, most of our kids are in different cities and you are on your own and you may lose your partner and you will have to fend for yourself in every which way. So I think that, without being emotional about it, has helped me to kind of plan something. For me, probably retirement is still 10 to 15 years away. But in this 10 to 15 years, what more can I contribute that I can live the same lifestyle without compromising on any other aspect? Is something which keeps me going. And I use a balance of mutual funds, equities, the PPF route, all of these as a combination to get there.
How wonderful is that? And you made a very useful point that, you know, you have to approach this topic in all practicality. I mean, all these things, like, you know, the family structures are changing and your kin might not look after you in your old age. All these are very practical aspects that people sometimes look with an emotional, sentimental lens and, you know, lose perspective. So very rightly said.
Yeah, I think you should be prepared. You should hope for the best and be prepared for the worst is what my motto always is. So you should, especially for your retirement, you should be prepared. Assume the worst, you know, and then work from there.
That's right. All right. So that brings us to the end of today's episode. Thanks a lot, Anu, for joining us today. I really hope that our women listeners will find this conversation very useful, insightful, and start their retirement planning, you know, as early as they can.
Thank you, Shipra. Thank you for having me over. I hope I have been able to add some value. Thank you.
That brings us to the end of today's episode. If you would like to know more about this topic or make a suggestion of a personal finance topic that you would like us to cover, I can be reached at Twitter under the username of Shipra Singh Saurat and on LinkedIn at Shipra Singh. Thank you for tuning in. See you in the next episode.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.